Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase nationally on Sprouts, contact me, your air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Clinton Street Resistance Series every Monday night at the Clinton Street Theater. Monday, March 25th, Clinton Street Resistance will screen Meet the Parents. This screening benefits Friends of Noise. Again, that's Meet the Parents, showing Monday, March 25th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage, under Community Events.
The more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
My name is Courtney Scott, and I am your host today on Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland. I'm very pleased to introduce Amber Canavan of Compassionate PDX, who will inform us about a plan to ban the sale of fur here in Portland. Amber became an activist when she was 14. She went vegan after joining the PETA 2 street team and meeting activists from a local animal rights group that mentored her. Her activism for animals expanded into other issues, and Amber began working on environmental campaigns and volunteering at the local women's shelter. She worked as a veterinary assistant at a low-cost spay-neuter clinic for about 7 years and completed her bachelor's in environmental studies during that time. She works for PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, as a campaigner for vegan issues for her day job, and in her free time, co-founded Compassionate PDX to help pass a ban on the sale of fur within the city of Portland. Welcome, Amber.
Thanks for having me.
So, Amber, let's start out. Tell us about this new plan to ban fur in Portland. What exactly does the ban entail?
A ban in the city of Portland would be prohibiting the sale of new fur products within city limits. And this is based on success stories from cities in California, in West Hollywood, Berkeley, Los Angeles, and San Francisco that have already passed very similar bans. And we are looking to be the first city outside of California to pass such a ban.
So, in other words, it's really the second major city. Is that correct?
I think we'd be maybe the third major city. I think LA and San Francisco probably beat us, but the big ledge that we're trying, or the roadblock we'd be getting over, is passing a ban in a colder weather city outside of California.
I see, yeah, because they don't really need fur in LA. Okay, gotcha. So why do you think this ban is necessary?
Well, every year, billions of animals are killed just for their fur. These are mostly rabbits, but also foxes, mink, coyotes, raccoons, and even dogs and cats in Asia have been documented as their skins are also going into the global skin and fur trade. So this is a very relevant issue that impacts a lot of animals, and there are very severe cruelty concerns involved in the fur industry, which we can detail a little later.
Yeah. So so you said billions?
Billions.
With a B.
Billions.
Wow, that's amazing. I had no idea it was that many. So yeah, so you mentioned a few of the animals that are raised for fur. How are they raised, and how are they killed and their pelts removed?
Well, 85% of the animals killed for fur are raised on fur farms. So these are essentially factory farms for fur-bearing animals. These are often animals who are in the wild. They have very wide ranges, so they're used to traveling very far, and they're not used to being crowded. These animals are kept in small cages until the day the farmer will pull them out. And common killing methods are to bludgeon them to death, gas them to death, or anally electrocute them. And same goes for animals trapped in the wild. They might suffer for hours or days caught in leg hold traps. And common killing methods for those animals, such as coyotes, are to bludgeon them or just shoot them right in the head or in the lungs.
Not a pleasant way to die in any case.
Absolutely not, and it's absolutely unnecessary. There's no reason to be wearing fur. It's a luxury item, and cities would do well to, you know, catch up with the times and ban this cruel and unnecessary product.
You know, in Portland, I know they, what was the name of that fur store that closed? Schumacher Furs closed. And I believe, to my knowledge anyway, there's only one other fur store, though I'm sure some of the major retailers might still be selling fur, like Macy's, but I don't think Macy's is here anymore. So maybe Nordstrom is still selling some fur. So is there a lot of fur in Portland right now that's being sold?
There's not really so much full-on fur salons anymore, even mm-hmm. inside of Nordstrom or if we had Macy's anymore. Those stores used to have full-on fur salons where you could walk in and buy a full-length fur coat. Nowadays, what you see is the trim. You see trim on especially Canada Goose jackets are fairly popular, although less so in Portland versus some other cities. And you'll also see small fur trim items, maybe a jacket or a sweater or gloves that might have a trim of rabbit or fox fur on them.
Okay. So what about the fur farmers here in Oregon? What do you think their opposition might be to this campaign? Are they in any threat if they're not selling? Are they selling a lot of fur in Portland? And so are they going to be threatened by this campaign, do you think?
The fur industry is certainly threatened by these bans. They've sent a couple of lobbyists to the other cities and also to the legislature. And actually this week, the California state legislature went through its first hearing for a statewide fur ban in California. So they certainly have their industry lobbyists, but the larger public is fairly compassionate to animals. And while we know there's probably going to be a couple of sticks in the mud with industry people putting up some resistance, this is a compassionate movement, and its time has come.
Right. So in other words, they may be opposing it, but the tide has turned already on it.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good news. So, you know, I want to mention that I have been to a few fur farms in Oregon, and they chased me off, and they lied to me about their business. And so I'm just wondering why they're so secretive, why they're so afraid of activists. You know, the fur industry, I reached out to them, and they told me that fur farming in Europe is humane. They only use gas, for instance, not electrocution. So do you have any response to that?
Well, these industries thrive on secrecy, and they thrive on people not quite knowing what they're buying. So it's no surprise that they wouldn't want you to know what's going on those properties. Those animals are, as you probably saw, in cages, and they don't want you to know how that they're killed either.
You know, one of the things that really made me an activist was a long time ago when I saw, I believe it was a coyote, although I'm not sure, but anyway, it was an animal trapped in a cage, a fur farm animal, and this animal was left out in the cold all winter. And from what I understand, the reason was so that the fur would grow thicker and faster. Have you heard of that? That was, to me, that was really shocking because you know what it's like to be cold.
Yeah, they will do different things to manipulate the animals so that their pelts are more profitable. You know, the different feeds they give them, the way that they cage them, the time that they kill them. And everything is built on profit. And the only reason they pay lip service to this claims to it being humane is because they know people care about animals and they wouldn't be buying it if they really knew what goes into it.
Right. And they also claim that the activists manipulated the video. That was their other thing they told me. Though I'm not quite clear how you would do that. I do video myself and I'm like, how would you, you know, edit a video so it looks like the animal's pacing in a cage?
Well, you don't see them opening their barn doors for the public to see.
To see it, so. Yeah, exactly, right. So does the USDA have any control over this like they do with other animal issues?
Well, there are some regulations for trapping, for instance, but as with all animal abusing industries, there are systemic and inherent cruelty that's involved with the fur industry. So no matter how well it was regulated, not that it is well regulated, it'd still be cruel and unnecessary. And Portland has taken some really progressive steps already in banning plastic straws straws and styrofoam. And, you know, this is the next step. It's an issue that not only impacts the animals, but also consumers. I've talked to numerous people on the street who I saw wearing a real animal fur trim. And, you know, their first thing was to say that it's fake fur. And some of them, you know, you're not sure if you believe them right off the bat, but some of them were genuinely devastated when they realized that they had accidentally bought, you know, a coyote fur trim, which is dog fur. They were maybe walking their own companion animal dog while wearing the fur of a butchered coyote.
Mm-hmm. And those coyotes are usually trapped, right? They don't have too many coyote farms that I...
Coyotes, overwhelmingly, yeah. Yes, they come from wild
trapping
in the wild.
Yeah, which is another whole issue of... I know that there was an attempt to do a trapping ban here a few years ago. And I don't believe that ever went anywhere. We got a lot of trappers in Eastern Oregon.
Yep, this is a great place to start, and there will be even more progress in the future. So it's looking up for the animals after decades of the fur industry just dominating and trying to make a comeback. And all these designers and companies are dropping fur, and it's time for our laws to catch up and reflect on that as well.
Right, because I know that there's been many efforts made over the years by In Defense of Animals and PETA and other groups to get Portland in line. I mean, we have the Fur Free Friday every year. Is that still going on?
Absolutely. And part of what I said at last Fur Free Friday this past November was that if we get this ban passed, we don't need to spend time protesting this anymore. So that is the goal, to not have to protest that anymore.
Right, right. But that was a fun march, so.
No. There's plenty of things to march
There's plenty of other reasons to march. I hear you. So I'm just going to go a little bit more into the trapping. So do you think that having this fur ban will have any effect at all on the trapping in Oregon?
Well, that's actually an interesting question. There are some exemptions in the fur ban laws. So one of the exemptions is that it can't preempt existing state laws. And that's a similar exemption that was in the California laws. So there is one exemption that says that you can't regulate the sale of legally trapped animals within the state of Oregon. However, we have not seen one scrap of fur from a locally trapped animal for sale within Portland. So that is an exception we're willing to take to get this larger ban passed. But in the larger context of all these other cities passing the bans and the statewide ban in California, this will have a overall positive effect. It's sad that we can't protect those animals that are being trapped in Oregon, but this is just the first step to getting this larger compassionate legislation passed.
I see, right. So it's a plan down the road. Okay, so Amber, we're going to take a short break right now. Stay tuned, all of you out there, to Voices for the Animals on KBOO Portland, and we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Voices for the Animals with our special guest, Amber Canavan. Canavan, I'm sorry, I keep saying your name wrong, from Compassionate PDX. Amber, the city of Los Angeles, as you mentioned, recently enacted a ban on fur. How are activists using that ban to model the Portland ban? Are you using that at all or using their strategies at all?
The language of the ban that we would hope to pass in Portland is largely based on the bans that were passed in Los Angeles and California. The activists in those cities didn't even know if this was even possible when they started their effort, and they were pleasantly surprised with the response and, frankly, the ease of getting such a thing passed. And we're hoping the same thing is going to happen in Portland. But if it doesn't, we're still ready for the long haul.
Okay, so you're ready with Plan B.
It's going to pass one way or another at some point. So, yeah, we're building up support. We've got our Facebook page running, so I'd invite anyone to visit our Facebook page. We have a petition that has over 2,000 signatures on it. That will be delivered to the city commissioners and other projects in the works.
Great. So, then, in other words, at some point you're going to try to help expand this out. Because I was thinking, for instance, with bobcats and lynx, a lot of those furs are sold overseas to China, for instance. So that's more of an international market. So this ban would not address that at this point, right?
Not really, and I'm not sure if it would. I'm not aware of any lynx farms in the state, and I'm not aware of the extent of lynx trapping in the state. So, but overall, this is part of a larger trend internationally. So there's a number of countries that are moving to regulate or even ban fur farming. And then states banning the sale. So this is a larger thing that's going on that might not quite target some of the things we want it to target, but overall this is going to spell a lot more compassionate future for fur-bearing animals.
Right. Okay. So, in other words, we're at the beginning phases here, but this is a big major step because I remember for years people trying here to get a fur, stores to stop selling fur. So this is kind of like the end road for that, because if you ban it, there's no point. You don't even have to worry about them selling it because they can't trade it at all.
Right, and there aren't any full-on fur stores. There's no business that relies entirely on selling fur in Portland anymore, which is a great progress. It's just some stores that their larger business is based on, you know, other products, other clothing items, or other whatever else they sell. And the fur is just some seasonal thing they have on a couple of their racks during the winter season. They can easily just stop selling it or sell something else that doesn't have trim. For instance, a jacket, it can have no fur trim or some faux fur trim.
Mm-hmm. So I think there is isn't there one fur salon? I think it's on Yamhill, perhaps. I can't remember the name of it right now. They don't really have a they do have a sign, but it's kind of hard to see it. And a young fellow set himself on fire outside of that one a few years ago.
I thought that one closed down.
Oh,
but,
did it?
But
well, you might be right.
We can fact check that.
Yeah, I just was curious. I haven't been by there myself in a long time, but that was the only one that I knew about. And it's good to know that they, if they have sold, closed down. So you mentioned that you have a petition and you've got 2,000 signatures. What other progress have you seen? It looks like you're trying to get endorsements from local businesses. Is that right? How is that going?
Yeah, so far we have about 30 local businesses and nonprofits who have signed on to endorse the fur ban. And that's something also if listeners work for or own a business that would be willing to sign on and support, you can get in touch with us on Facebook, and I think we can link our email address on your guys' website, right?
Yeah, we have a link to your Facebook page, and if you want us to add an email, we can do that.
Great.
Yeah.
So businesses and nonprofits endorsing the ban is very important, and we're going to be relying on people to do even more as we get more progress. We've already gotten several meetings with policy staff at City Hall, and we've got, you know, more work to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And every bit of public support that shows the city government that they have the backing of the public if they take the initiative and go for this.
So are you recommending that citizens write to their city commissioner?
Well, the ban isn't proposed yet.
So you wait.
So we wouldn't want ready yet, but
okay.
That would be in the cards in the future.
So you'll keep everyone updated on your Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay.
And for now, it's Portland City residents can sign the petition, which we have several petition sites around the city. There's one at both Food Fight locations, the Food Fight vegan grocery store, Oracle Coffee, the Back to Eden food cart in Woodstock, and No Bones Beach Club. So there are several stations around the city. You can stop in any time during business hours and sign that petition.
Is it also online?
It's not online.
Okay.
The petition is only for Portland residents. So we went the paper route for that one.
Right, right. You know, I just want to mention, you probably might have thought of this, there's VegFest, and that's always a good way to get lots of people.
That's if the ban isn't passed by then,
if it
right?
isn't passed by then, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Gotcha. So PETA and other animal rights groups have, like I mentioned, been working on this for a long time. Are there other groups that are joining you for this effort here in Portland now?
Well, we have a bunch of local nonprofits that are supporting us. So Oregon Humane Voters, the local Sea Shepherd chapter. We have a Save Movement, which does vigils at slaughterhouses and farms. And then nationally, there's been a great coming together of different organizations, so PETA, In Defense of Animals, Direct Action Everywhere, have all banded together to form this really great coalition that's getting animal-friendly legislation passed, such as the fur ban.
Great. So we mentioned earlier about fake fur. What's your opinion about that? Because it seems like it's pretty difficult to tell the difference between the two.
It can be a little difficult on the street, but that is a great point that the ban would help that out a lot, wouldn't it? So if it can't be sold, people aren't going to be unsuspectingly buying it. I would encourage anyone who is wearing any faux fur, you can get a little button or something like that and put it on your coat, and that way people might see that and are sure that you're not wearing real stuff. Although it can really depend on the qualities. Sometimes you can really just tell it right off the bat.
It's a cheap one.
Yeah.
I've just made me think about PETA used to have a campaign for people to turn in their fur coats to them, and they gave it to the homeless people. And also I've heard that you can use the pelts for animal beds. So is there any campaign here in Portland where people might want to come and turn in their fur coat if this passes or if it doesn't pass?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can mail in fur to PETA, and they will use it in their campaigns. I have also heard that wildlife centers do often accept fur and fur trim, and they will use it in their baby animal rehabilitation efforts. But you'd have to check with them individually. I wouldn't just drop it off on them or ship it to them without checking first.
Right, right. But anyway, it's a good idea to recycle it at least. So another claim that the fur industry made is that the fur industry is environmentally sustainable. They claim that it's sustainable to use fur rather than artificial products for making fake fur. So what's your response to that?
Well, it does take a lot more energy to produce a real animal fur versus faux fur. You can also just wear clothes that don't have it on it entirely. That's also an option. And there's also recycled and biodegradable faux fur. And that is compared to the fur industry, which, just like any sort of factory farming system where you have animals crammed together in cages, is creating pollution from their waste, their unfiltered waste, and is also treated with toxic chemicals that prevent that dead piece of flesh and skin from biodegrading. So the fur industry claims are just trying to throw up a shield against this tidal wave of people who just don't want to kill animals for fashion anymore.
Right. So this is their last ditch effort maybe to save their business.
Right. They're latching on to the similar efforts to curtail plastic use, but it really just falls flat.
Mm-hmm.
Faux fur does not need to be made out of plastic. It can be made out of biodegradable materials, or if it is made out of plastic, it can be made from recycled materials. Or again, you can just wear the thing without the fur trim entirely.
Yeah, that would seem like the more easier solution there. So now we've talked a lot about what's going on. What can people do? What can people in our audience do to help you other than just contacting you on your Facebook page and signing a petition? Is there anything else that you want them to do and that you would encourage them to do?
Well, aside from what you can do directly for the fur ban effort, I would just encourage anyone to get active somehow in any way that they can and what fits for them. There's no limit to the amount of work that can and needs to be done for animals, whether they're in fur, feathers, or fins. And there are so many great organizations in Portland to plug into, and there's a great community here. So whether you're lobbying at City Hall or joining us for a vigil at a slaughterhouse or a work party at an animal sanctuary, you can get involved in any number of things to be pushing this more compassionate world, of which the fur bans are just one small part of that larger effort.
Well, thank you so much. And you mentioned lobbying. I just want to mention that there's going to be a lobby day in Salem, and there's three bills coming up. And this is part of our announcement at the end of this program. And you might want to plug into that and let your senator or representative know to support these bills. And one of them is to no more selling of pets in pet stores. So that's a really big one that did pass, I believe, in California, or maybe a city in California. I can't remember. But anyway, this would be a statewide ban, I understand. So you might want to support that. But meantime, thank you, Amber, so much for joining us on Voices for the Animals. Tune in again next month, the fourth Monday at 11:30 a.m. for another episode. You can watch the podcast of this program on kboo.fm. And stay tuned to KBOO for more exciting programming. Thanks for joining us today.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meetings policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
Coming this Monday at 2 p.m.
Do you believe the dead to come back and watch the living?
No!
The Monday Sampler presents an all-star presentation of Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca.
You haven't flattered yourself that he's in love with you, I hope. Not after being married to Rebecca Hildreth, the most beautiful, the most cultured woman in all England.
Featuring Ida Lupino.
Why do you hate me? What have I done to you that you should hate me so?
Judith Anderson.
You tried to take her place. You let him marry you.
And Ronald Coleman.
You thought I loved Rebecca? I hated her. She was incapable of love, or tenderness, or decency.
Tune in this Monday, March 25th, as the Monday Sampler presents...
Sometimes, I wonder if she doesn't come back here to Manderley and watch you and Mr. De Winter together.
No! I don't believe it!
Rebecca.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Rose Maddox, and I'd like to tell you that you're listening to KBOO in Portland, Oregon, the station that I listen to when I'm in the area.
Stand by for the noontime jamboree. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Long ago and far away, common labor shoes, I turned the world.